Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight's videos include a role play from the website Second Life where your avatar is a Gitmo detainee. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75 on the New York City cable systems. And I know that many of our listeners here were dismayed by William Shatner's absence from the new Star Trek film. So we thought we would console you by playing a clip from one of his very early non-Star Trek films, a 1965 piece called Incubus.
Chiesta dolce. Mimitis chiesta vera. Caturi ci aquam havas curits pavon.
The aspecto
esas pipona. Fresh pure aero, me.
That's right. You just heard William Shatner speaking Esperanto. I cannot tell you what he said, but my next guest might be able to. Here now is linguist Erica Okrent. She's the author of a new book, In the Land of Invented Languages, Esperanto, Rock Stars, Klingon Poets, Loglan Lovers, and the Mad Dreamers Who Tried to Build a Perfect Language. Erica Okrent, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
What do you consider an invented language? Does it have to be something systematic and just created from scratch, like the Esperanto we heard in that clip?
Yes, the languages that I talk about in my book were all intentionally created. So, you know, the word invented could refer to something you do spontaneously in a group, but the way I'm talking about invented languages is languages that someone just sat down and started from scratch with a pen and a paper to, you know, setting out to create something new.
And why would someone do that?
Well, historically, it's mostly been in order to improve upon natural language. So natural language has all these flaws and ambiguities and irregularities. And people...
I like flaws and ambiguities and irregularities.
Well, that's what we learn from the history of language invention, that we sort of need that. We need the messiness of language in order to do what we need to do with it.
Because every one of these experiments, if it's done in a real serious, social-minded way like Esperanto, and we'll talk more about Esperanto, which was really a 20th century, you know, almost utopian attempt at creating an international global language, that they're utopian, so they're almost bound to fail?
Yes, well, Esperanto is actually the major success story of invented languages. It's the one with the most speakers and the one that has the most life of its own. You know, but most people think of it as, oh, you know, didn't that sort of die out in the 30s? But it's still going, and if you look at it next to the over 900 other invented languages that have absolutely no speakers and no one's ever heard of, right. Esperanto's doing pretty well.
Well, let's stay with Esperanto for a moment. It's not a completely invented from scratch language. It really takes elements of English and elements of other languages. So explain that and explain what it came out of. It was kind of a post-World War I thing.
It was actually previous to that, so the end of the 19th century, in the 1880s, it was invented, and then it had its sort of height of popularity in the 20s, I guess you'd say.
Okay.
But it's a hybrid, so the idea was that you take roots from already existing languages, Latin roots, a couple Germanic roots, some English roots, and just have a completely regular endings tacked onto them, so you have no irregular past tense, or none of these big conjugation paradigms. So you can learn some roots, learn these regular endings, and be up and running pretty quickly with this hybrid European language.
And did it serve its purpose?
It didn't so much serve the purpose it was originally intended for, which was to unite the world in peace with a common language that all of us could learn as a second language, so we could meet on this neutral ground and talk to each other. But it did become a living language, and there are even native speakers of Esperanto now, people whose parents meet at an Esperanto conference, don't speak each other's native languages, and then they have Esperanto as their home language, and the children grow up with it as a natural native language.
Maybe the problem is if you invent a language to try to change the world, you also have to invent a culture.
Yes, and that's why it is a success, because they didn't. People were drawn to it not for practical reasons. Oh, here's a language I can do things with and do business with and travel with. It was people who were attracted to Esperanto got to meet other people who were attracted to it for whatever reason, and they formed a type of community.
You write about one language inventor, Charles Bliss, who spent time in a concentration camp and then fled to Shanghai, invented a pictorial language, which he called logical writing for an illogical world. So his pictorial language was a moral answer to the Nazis?
Yes, he had seen what propaganda could do, and he saw it as a case of language, of words, tricking people into ideas, and that you could maybe avoid that if you avoided words and used pictures instead or symbols instead. And he was, he was sort of mistaken about the way Chinese writing actually works. It doesn't present pictures. It represents words. But he developed this system based on symbols, thinking it would overcome the sort of diseases of the mind caused by language. And he fought for years and years to get recognized, and finally his system did become used in a school in Canada for children with cerebral palsy to help them to learn English. It wasn't what he intended it to do, and he caused problems for that program.
It's fascinating. And we have a few minutes, listeners. If you speak any invented language, call up and say a few words, 212-433-WNYC, and tell us why you learned. 212-433-9692 for Erica Okrent, author of In the Land of Invented Languages, Esperanto, Rock Stars, Klingon Poets, Loglan Lovers, and the Mad Dreamers Who Tried to Build a Perfect Language. And, of course, we introduced the segment with the Star Trek reference. Were you disappointed by the new film's glaring lack of Klingon?
Klingon speakers would have really liked to have gotten some new examples of Klingon, because they're always looking for more vocabulary. So it was a shame. No Klingon in the movie, but maybe they'll do the next one.
And you write about one language called La'adan. Is that how you say it?
La'adan, yeah.
La'adan, which has feminist roots and has words that, as you write, are designed to make you want to nod your head and go, uh-huh, tell it, sister. And one such word in the La'adan vocabulary is, and help me out again, is it pronounced radidin?
Radidin, uh-huh.
Radidin, defined as a non-holiday, a time allegedly a holiday, but actually so much burden because of work and preparations that it is a dreaded occasion, especially when there are too many guests and none of them help. Oh, now I see those heads out there, Bobby, going, uh-huh, tell it, sister.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if many women in our audience are thinking, yeah, English is deficient. You need a word like radidin. But the inventor of La'adan makes this point. Why did a feminist language like La'adan fail, and a hyper-masculine language like Klingon is thriving in some pop culture circles?
Yeah, she was disappointed to see it come out that way. But her, she didn't have the backing of Paramount Studios to spread the language far and wide.
Good point. Oh, let's see. Michael and Wantagh has spoken an invented language. Michael.
Yeah, actually, no, I haven't. I just wanted to comment that everybody who has too much to drink speaks an invented language.
There you go. But there is it's a common language among other people who are in the same altered state, so that I think they understand each other. Gabriel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, in the 13th century, the late 13th century, the grandson of Genghis Khan commissioned a Tibetan monk to invent a new written language that would be spread all over the Mongol Empire, which was enormous at the time. And I don't know how it affected the spoken language, but it was a totally new alphabet. There had never been one for the Mongol language as such, so that may be of interest to your listeners.
Familiar with that, Erica?
I don't talk so much about invented writing systems, because usually they are they represent an existing system. But when you mentioned the 12th century, I thought you were going to talk about Hildegard von Bingen, a German nun, who she did invent a language. She was one of the first invented language we have records for. And she's known for other endeavors too, but she was the first Conlanger, as we call them, constructed language artist.
Gabriel, thank you for calling. You know, there's a parallel conversation taking place on our Facebook page now, inspired by what you've been saying. And one of the listeners mentioned dry talk. Is that how you say it? which is also known as chipmunk language, and we actually pulled an example from the web of spoken dry talk. Listen. It may help to chew nuts before trying to speak that language. I don't know.
Yes, that's a whole language where you never vibrate your vocal cords. All the sounds just come from the air in your mouth.
Yeah, it's like all consonants.
Yeah.
And what is that, actually?
That's a language designed just for artistic purposes, for this idea. Could you have a language where you never vibrate your vocal cords like a chipmunk? And let's see, how many sounds can we come up with where you could do this, and can we put it all together into a language-like system?
And we have another audio example of a language. You're familiar with this one? Do you write about this in the book called Lobjon?
Lojban, yes.
Lojban.
Yes. Logland and Lojban, yes.
All right, which is described as a culturally neutral language. So before we hear it, what does that mean?
Well, the idea behind it was that you would have a language with no culture, so that you could use it to test the effect of language on your thought processes. If you spoke Lojban, which is based on the principles of logic, would it make you speak more logically, and you wouldn't have any cultural stuff attached to it that would influence
baggage.
Your mode of thought?
Just get rid of all our cultural baggage.
Yes.
Just get rid of all our cultures. 11 seconds of Lojban.
Reho lemensi jihe zukte finoda I abuboy pajihi reroi sutras gana le shukta poi lemensi shuchidu.
There is a culture behind that, I'm convinced. Phineas and Chelsea are on WNYC. Hi, Phineas.
Yeah, the language, one of the fastest growing languages is American Sign Language, which started in America, and it's spreading throughout the world. And it's an invented language, but it's a very useful language, and it has its own culture. And many people use it as a second language. I mean, it can be used across great distances, you know.
It's a great, great example,
yeah.
And maybe the most successful example, although it's not a spoken language.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually not an invented language, technically. It grew, American Sign Language just grew up organically from deaf communities, but there was an invented language called Gestuno, which is the Esperanto of sign language. So French Sign Language, American Sign Language, British Sign Language, they're all different and non-mutually intelligible. So in the 70s, the Deaf World Federation of the Deaf created Gestuno as a sort of Esperanto of sign language.
Huh.
Didn't catch on too well, though.
And Emily in Staten Island, we have 15 seconds. Your family made up a language?
Yes, my grandfather and his brother made up a language, and so the rest of our family speaks it as soon as they can learn it because you're not allowed to teach it.
Oh, give me one quick example. And that means?
It means a shout-out to my husband, Andy, because he made me call in.
I think a lot of us come from families that speak languages of their own. Emily, thank you very much. Or from individuals within families who speak languages of their own. And that is where we leave it. Very interesting stuff from Erica. That's A-R-I-K-A, Okrent, O-K-R-E-N-T. And her book is called In the Land of Invented Languages. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.